Good morning, everyone. Last week, we began discussing the question of when and how is Torah given, the nature and the evolution of Torah Shebaal Peh. We left off in the middle of the Rambam's Hakdama to Perush HaMishnayos. We're on page 5 of the source books, under the section of Chamesha Sugei Hadinim. So the Rambam writes that, according to what he said, there are 5 categories of halachos. The first one is Perushim HaMikubalim. The Rambam writes that what are Perushim HaMikubalim? As we said last time, Perushim Mikubalim Epi Moshe V'yesh Lahem Remez Bekasov V'efshar Lahotziyam B'derach Svara V'zeh In Bo Machlokas Aval kshiyomar ha'echad kach kibalti ein ledaber alav. The first category is Perushim HaMikubalim. Perushim HaMikubalim means the interpretation that was given about a particular pasuk at Sinai. There's a kabbalah about it, is mikubal, there's a transmission. That transmission was never lost, and thus you'll never find dispute about these matters in the Gemara. So, for example, the notion that Ayin tachas ayin is mamon, or that when the pasuk says Usfartam lachami macharas haShabbos, it's referring not to Shabbos Bereishis but the second day of Pesach. All those are Perushim HaMikubalim, and what makes Perushim HaMikubalim distinct is that even though there is a tradition going back to Sinai about what the meaning of the pasuk is, nevertheless, we could also derive it independently using the Midosh Atar Nidrashas Behen or Svara or the like. The second category is Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. Heim Adinim, Shenemar Ben Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, Ve'ein Rayos Aleihem, Shemoshe Zacharnu. V'gamzeh, Ein Cholik Alav. Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai are like the first category, they come from Sinai. Like the first category, because there's a tradition, there's no machlokes. The difference is that Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai is something about which there is no way to deduce the law from the text. So, for example, we saw that shiurim are called Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai because the notion that Kezias is the shiur of matzah or koseves is the shiur achil on Yom Kippur, these are things that cannot be deduced from the text of the Torah. And to the extent that they can be deduced from the text, the Gemara refers to that as an asmachta, meaning to say it's not the meaning of the text. And therefore, we know these only through tradition. The third category are laws about which we don't have a tradition and that we have derived independently from the psukim without a tradition through the Mido, Shatar, Nidreshes, Ban, Hekesh, Riboy, Yitor, and Svara. Hadinim Shehotziu al Darkei HaHekesh V'nafla B'machlokes. About these things, about these laws, because they are independently derived using Seichel, thus there can be machlokes. And what do we do in the case of machlokes? V'nifsak hadin b'hen al pirov v'ze yikra because two different people might have two different ways of interpreting the same pasuk, disputes can arise. And thus you'll sometimes find in the Gemara will say, this interpretation of the pasuk that you're offering, if you have a tradition for it, then I accept the tradition and I'll recant my argument or my interpretation. However, if you don't have a tradition, then I think you're wrong. About these, the Rambam writes, we don't say ein based in yachal lachlok al based in hagadol mimenu elin ken chachma v'minyan, but rather ein ladain ela mash ein avraos yiftach bedaro kishmuel bedaro, and any based in that understands a pasuk in a particular way may rule according to their interpretation of the pasuk, even if it means arguing with an earlier based in that is in fact greater than them. You can argue with someone greater, even though you know they're greater than you, if there's no tradition and it relates to the interpretation of a pasuk. I thought that with this notion, perhaps you could explain a very interesting Ramban in this week's Parsha. The Ramban in this week's Parsha, and he does this a couple of other times in Chumash, does something very startling, Parshas Tzav. The Pasuk says, is talking about Karban Mincha, and the Ramban says, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple understanding of this Pasuk, is that when it comes to a Minchas Machvas Marcheshes and Minchas Mafei Tanur, so then the Kohen that does the particular avoda for that Mincha keeps the Mincha. Whereas when it comes to a Mincha Soles or a Minchas Chareva, like a Minchas Chote or a Minchas Kenaos, then the Mincha, the Shiraim from the Mincha, are distributed among all the Kohanim doing the avoda that particular day. He says this is the Pshuto Shel Mikra. However, Chazal understand that this Pasuk does not mean that. Rather, according to Chazal, all the Menachos are equally distributed among the Kohanim. Now, of course, this is very common, that Ramban goes ahead and explains the Pasuk al Pipshat, even though that's not the way Chazal explain it, and certainly that's not the way we Paskin Halacha L'maisa, as the Ramban explains. That, too, is very significant, and it raises a question, why should one focus on the study of Pshat if, after all, we don't Paskin that way? But that's a question that's not too uncommon. What's even more startling here is what the Ramban goes ahead and does. The Ramban says, now I'm going to tell you the time of Dikra, the reason for the mitzvah, al pi pshat, meaning to say, according to the pshat understanding of the pasuk, which is wrong, and lo alib de hilchasa, not the way we follow, this is the time of Dikra. What's the time of Dikra? Well, a minchas, machvas, marcheshes, and mafei tanur are minachos that involve a lot of work. You have to bake them and the like. And therefore, since the kohen that does the avoda does a lot of work, chelef avodaso, he gets to keep them. Whereas a minchas solas involves virtually no work for the kohen because you just do kmitza from the flour itself. And therefore, likewise, a minchas chareva, which doesn't even have oil, there's not much work for the Kohen, and therefore that mincha gets equally distributed among the Kohanim. And if you follow the drash, which says that all minachos are equally distributed, so then he gives a different reason. The reason for the mitzvah is because to promote shalom bayis, to promote peace and harmony among the Kohanim. So what's so remarkable here is that the Ramban goes ahead. Not only does he explain the pasuk al pi pshat, Shaloka Devei Chazal, but then he goes ahead and gives a reason for the mitzvah, al pi pshat, shelo al pi chazal. And this is startling, because why do you need to give time of Dikra? Why do you need to give a reason for a mitzvah if that is not even the way the mitzvah is performed, if it's not even the way that you practically do the mitzvah? This elevates and shows the importance of understanding Pshuto Shel Mikra, afilu shehu kishehu keneged Chazal, not just in the level of parshanut, but even on the level of time of Dikra. Why would that be important? It seems to be a waste of time. Why explain a mitzvah if this isn't the way it's anyway carried out? And I think that perhaps if you understand, if you assume like this idea in the Rambam, and we'll see later on Chazal likewise say similar statements in other Rishonim as well, then perhaps it makes a lot of sense. Because what's the pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam's saying that when it comes to many, many things, the interpretations of the psukim, we don't have a tradition. And the Beis Din has to interpret the psukim as they see fit. And therefore it's conceivable to interpret the pasuk differently. For example, the Ramban would never go ahead, I believe, and give a time of Dikra when the interpretation is keneged a mesorah. He would never go ahead and say, al pi pshat, the pasuk when it says, mimacharas ha-shabbos means, Shabbos bereishis, well, why would you bring the Karban Omer on a Monday, or on a Sunday, I'm sorry? This is the time of Dikra. And according to Chazal, it means second day of Pesach, and this would be the reason for that. Of course not. He would never say, maybe al pi pshat, ayin tachas ayin means literally you pluck out his eye, and again the pshat for that would be such and such, and rather and Chazal say it means mamon, and then the time of the crow would be such and such. Of course not. That would be lo ol al hadas. But because the pasuk could be interpreted in multiple ways, and while it's true Chazal did interpret it one way, and that in fact is what the halacha is, so therefore it makes sense to consider the pshuto shel mikra, how the pasuk could have been interpreted differently. Theoretically, another Beis Din might even choose to interpret it that way. Probably not. But the point is that this isn't a mesorah. It's the way Chazal understood it. And therefore, there's emes to the pshuto shel mikra, and because there's emes to the pshuto shel mikra, even though we don't paskin that way, there's emes not just on a level of parshanut, but also on a level of time of dekra. And the truth of the matter is, when we think about it, this relates to many, many, many halachos, many, many ideas. The Gemara in Erevin and Yevamos on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, when discussing the sugya of Shnios, asks, what is the remez for Shnios, Menat Torah? And one answer in the Gemara is, it's learned out from Ushmarta Mis Mishmarti. And the Gemara asks, if so, then it's Daraisa, it's the meaning of a pasuk. And the Gemara answers, no, it's Daraisa, but Pirshuhu Chachamim. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? Kol Atar Kula Nami Pirshu Rabbanan. What the Gemara implies is that Kol Atar Kula, or most of the Torah, falls under this category. Most psukim are interpreted by Chazal, meaning to say the Torah themselves leaves the exact meaning of the concept undefined, and it is Chazal that interpret it and explain the meaning of the pasuk. And that's why the Rambam says that anything about which you find there to be machlokas, that's something about which there by definition can't be a mesorah. Okay, so that is the third category of mitzvos. Yes? If you thought that was the correct interpretation of the pasuk, then that is the halacha that you should follow, and like the Rambam says, we don't even say gadol b'chachma v'minyan. That is a requirement that the later Beis Din be gadol b'chachma v'minyan.
So the only reason why the Rambam is saying this, I'm saying this is what the halacha should be, is because he's not a Beis Din, he's just only.
Well, the Rambam doesn't think that that's the correct interpretation al pi drash either necessarily. It's the correct interpretation al pi pshat. Pshat and drash use different tools of interpretation. They consider different things. You read the pasuk differently on a level of interpretation of pshat than you do on a level of interpretation of pshat, of drash. Okay, so that was the third category of halachos, namely interpretations that Chazal made up to understand the psukim. Then the Rambam continues, and he writes, "Avol mishi yachshov shehadinim shenechlokim bahem kimo kein mikubalim mipi Moshe v'choshvim shenafla machlokis kederach taus halachos o hashikcha." Here the Rambam is referring to the view of a number of the Gaonim. You could see this position articulated in Rabbi Avram ibn Daud, which is sometimes known as the Ravid I. He died as a martyr in the year 1180. You could see this position in the Sefer, that's in his Sefer Kabbalah. You see this position in Rav Shrira Gaon, in Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon, and the like. These Gaonim hold, and this is the position now that the Rambam is going to utterly reject. These Gaonim hold, like the simple understanding of the Memra in Chazal, that Mashmita Namar Klalosehu Pratosehu V'dikdu Keha Misinai, Af Kol Mitzvos Namar Klaloseinu Pratosehu V'dikdu Keha Misinai. We already saw that the Rambam says that can't be taken literally. It means that the primary understandings of the Psukim were given from Moshe. It wasn't just the psukim, it's not just the mitzvos that were given at Sinai, but their interpretation. But when we say the interpretation, we mean the ikarim, the shorashim, but not every single detail. About the details, there was no transmission at Sinai, and thus their dispute could arise. However, the Gaonim understand, like the simple reading of Chazal, that when it comes to kol atar kula, namru pratoseha v'diktu keha misinai. Now, if this is the case, then there's an obvious problem, which is how do you explain all the machlokas? According to the Rambam, we understand the machlokas, because these interpretations were not given at Sinai. But the Gaonim hold everything was given at Sinai, every single detail of every single mitzvah. Let's assume now on a deraisa level. Later on, we're going to consider the statements in Chazal which say that even mitzvahs derabanan were given at Sinai. But for now, let's assume, like the Gaonim, that all of the mitzvos de Oraisa were given in their entirety with all their details at Sinai. If so, then we have an obvious question. How could there be machlokas? Al korchenu, we have to respond, and this is the position of the Gaonim, that machlokas arose because of a break in transmission, because the details of the mitzvos were forgotten. Because the details were forgotten, so therefore disputes arise. And one of the sources they bring for this interpretation is that the Gemara states that machlokas proliferated in Klal Yisrael when the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, lo shimshu kol tzarkan, when they weren't mishamish their teachers appropriately. That indicates that machlokas arose because of forgetfulness, because they didn't learn Torah properly. And thus the Gaonim write that is the basis for machlokas. Of course, then the Gaonim have a different problem, which is, if there is so much machlokas, that means so much was forgotten. Well, if there was so much that was forgotten, then why should we trust these rabbis anyway? That's the question that the Gaonim raise. We also have to remember that this discussion, the responses of the Gaonim, as well as the response of the Rambam, as we talked about last week, was said in the context of a vicious and fierce dispute with the Karaim and the like, who denied the Misorah and denied Torah Shebaal Peh. And thus, the Gaonim answer, well, while it's true that a lot was forgotten, and therefore there's a lot of debate, nevertheless, if you consider the matter carefully, there isn't debate about the basic issues, the main issues. There's debate about details. Everybody says you have to say Shema in the morning and evening. There's a machlokas exactly until when you have to say Shema, and so on and so forth. A similar distinction to what we saw in the Rambam. So, the Rambam here writes about this view that this is wrong. Zeh hadavar meguna me'od. V'hu divrei mi she'en lo seichel ve'en biyado ikaren. Someone who is to adopt this position is someone who ein divrei seichel. Why? Upogim be'anashim asher niskablu mehem hamitzvos. The Rambam writes that if the Gaonim are correct, they answered up one question, which is how could there be so much machlokas, by going ahead and incriminating the Chachmei HaMesorah, essentially by saying that there are huge gaps in our tradition. There was so much machlokas. They're pogim, they're insulting, they're offending, they're minimizing the Chachmei HaMesorah. And therefore the Rambam writes that this view is absolutely wrong. It's interesting, because paradoxically, it's because the Gaonim's minimization of the human contribution to halacha, which was done in order to strengthen the Misorah, the Rambam writes, this totally undermined the Misorah, because it basically states that the Balei HaMisorah forgot so many different things. And thus, the Rambam defends his position that about which things that there is a Misorah for, there was never forgetfulness. The Chavos Yair in Simen Kuf Tzadi Beis has a long tshuva, very important tshuva, going through the various positions on this matter, and he suggests that perhaps even the Rambam will concede that there has to be some forgetfulness. There are a number of Mamarim and Chazal that indicate forgetfulness. Even the famous Gemara that says upon the death of Moshe, hundreds of halachos were forgotten almost immediately until Asniel ben Kenaz restored them mitoch hasvar, mitoch pilpulo, because after all, they could no longer be restored through prophecy, because ein navi rishai l'chadish davar. But, at least for the most part, and the simple reading of the Rambam is, for everything, there was never any forgetfulness. Yes? So the way the Rambam would understand that is everybody agrees that the basic notion, the basic rules of interpretation of the Pasuk, there's the Yud Gimel Mido Shatar Nidrashis Bam and the like, those go back to Sinai, and about those there's a Mesora. The question is precisely how you employ those tools. There is the Machlokas even about some of those Drashos. Presumably the Rambam will say they both agree to the basic notion. The question is, which rule do you apply under which circumstances? Everybody agrees to the idea of kal pratu klal and riboy miut riboy. The question is, one, do you apply which rule, and one, do you apply the other one, which rule goes above and which rule goes below? I don't know, but perhaps that's what the Rambam would say. As the Chavos Yair points out, there are a number of difficulties in the Rambam's position as well. The Chavos Yair struggles with this issue mightily. He goes back, he quotes a view of the Gaonim, he says there's so many problems with this, he quotes the Rambam, there's so many problems with this, he considers the view of the Ramban, which he's more noted towards, but there are problems with that as well, and we'll get to some of more of these positions later. Yeah?
According to the Gaonim, how do we say Eilu v'Eilu 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 for something which
It's a good question. First of all, not clear what about everything we say El Veil Develokim Chaim, but you could understand El Veil Develokim Chaim more along the lines of the Ran, that it doesn't mean to say that they're equally true. One is Yoser Karo Vela Emes than the other, because two things in general can't be equally true. So if you adopt an Elu, you're assuming, you're taking for granted a Ritva Yerushalmi approach to Elu V'Elu and assuming that's against the Gaonim, well, probably you're right, but they need not accept that version of Elu V'Elu. And we'll talk about that Ezra Hashem next time. Okay. The Rambam continues, top of page 7. Aval ata al yikanes belibcha safek shemachlokes beishami uveisilal beomram mechabdin es abayis v'achar kein notlin liyadayim or notlin liyadayim v'achar kach mechabdin es abayis v'tachshov she'achad mishnei advarim ha'elu eino mekubal mepi Moshe misinai aval atam shu gorim lios cholkim hu mashenizkar betalmud she'achad mehem aser lishtamesh be'am ha'aretz v'asheni matir v'chein when do we find machlokes in Chazal? That's about anfei hanafim, about the branches, not about the shorashim. The Chavos Yair goes ahead, as I said, and he critiques this view, and he writes a very important lashon. He writes, Hine harav bana choma bitzura saviv tarshe balpeh, I'm reading from footnote number 9. The Rambam built such a strong wall against the Tarshe Baal Peh and the Mesora, namely to say that there was never any forgetting of any detail that was given at Sinai, but this is such a wall that we can't be Mekayim. He compares it to the Rambam's position on Dinim de Rabbanan. He made Dinim de Rabbanan so powerful by saying that every Din de Rabbanan seemingly is a Din de Raisa, because Lo Sasur and Vasisa Kol Sheyruch apply to every Din de Rabbanan. Sometimes when you make something too strong, you've actually weakened it. And that's what he says about the Rambam's position here. So the Rambam continues. Well, how does he then explain the Gemara that says that the root of the Machlokos, the proliferation of debate, relates to the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shaloshim Shu Kol Hatzarkan? Doesn't that statement in Chazal indicate that the Gaonim are right, that Machlokes stems from forgetting? So he says, no, that's not the correct interpretation. Aval ma she'amru mishirabu Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shaloshim Shu Kol Hatzarkan rabsa Machlokes b'Yisrael inyan zeh mevuar shekol shnei anashim biyosam shavim b'seichel uv'iyun uv'yediyas ha'ikarim sheyotziu mehem hasvaros lo tipo b'neem machlokas b'svarasam b'shum panim v'im nafla tia miuta kemo shelo nimtza shenechlechu Shammai v'Hillel ela b'halachos yechidos. When you have two people who are very, very brilliant, great Torah scholars and the like. They know a great deal. They're great thinkers. So you'll find that they will almost never disagree, or disagree very rarely, because they think along similar lines, because they've reached such a high level of intellect and wisdom. And thus, while you find many, many machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you find very few actual machlokos between Shammai and Hillel. V'zemipnei shedeo shnehem hayu krovos ze lezeh b'chol ma sheyotziu b'derech svara v'ikarim kemokein hanesunim lezeh k'moikarim hanesunim lezeh. Because they were both such incredible scholars, then there was very little debate. Aval kasher rafsa shkidas ha-talmidim ala chachma, when the talmidim didn't have enough hasmada, v'nech lesha svarasam neged svaras hillel v'shammai, and their intellect was weak when compared to that of their teachers, uvam nafla machlokes b'neihem b'ion al dvarim rabim shesvaras kol echad v'echad shemehem haisa lefi sichlo. Because of the deterioration, therefore, the machlokas proliferated. Not because there was the forgetting of the Mesorah. No, the Mesorah they retained. But because they weren't at the intellectual level of their teachers, thus, machlokas is more likely. The more advanced you are, the less you're likely to debate. So this is, again, the third section of Torah. So far we have Perushim HaMekubalim, Halach L'Moshe MiSinai, D'Oraisa interpretations of the Psukim that were made by Chazal. What is the fourth section? The Gzeros. Heim HaGzeros Shetiknu HaNeviim V'Chachamim B'Chol Dor V'Ador K'dei L'Aso Siag L'Torah V'Aleim Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asosam V'Usha Amar B'Gemara B'Mamar Klali U'Shmartem Es Mishmarti U'Vazet Bo B'Kabbalah Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti V'Chachamim Yikrosam Gzeros. About Gzeros, there are machlokas. What is a Gzera? And here the Rambam is going to distinguish between Gzeros versus Takanos and Minhagim. A Gzera is something which was a rabbinic decree made to preserve a din d'oraisa, to prevent the violation of din Torah. And thus, the Rambam writes that the makor for gzeros, both here and even more clearly in his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, is Ushmartem es Mishmarti. Ushmartem es Mishmarti, Chazal understand, mean to make a protection around the Torah, meaning to say prevent the violation of Torah law. This is in contrast with Takanos, which are the fifth section. Takanos are institutions that are made to make society and Torah run more smoothly, whether it's something like a takanas hashavim, takanas hamarish, the notion that if somebody steals lumber and builds it into a house, he doesn't have to take apart his house to return the gazel, as would be the case according to Din Torah. He could return the value of the goods that he's stolen. That's something to make society run more smoothly. Or the Takana of Megillah Esther, the like. These are not halachos meant to directly preserve or prevent the violation of Torah law, but rather, more generally, to make a smoother society, a more Torahic society, etc. Those are also mandated from the pasuk of Lo Sasser Min Adar She'agidu Lecha, and Vasisa Kol Sheyerucha, but not necessarily the pasuk of Ushmartem Es Mishmarti. And thus the Rambam says about these, since they don't come from Sinai, they don't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, so then certainly it makes sense why there would be machlokas. And he gives an example. His example is interesting, and one could question whether this would justify all machlokos on a dinder abanan. But he says, for example, we know there's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi whether or not to prohibit Basar Of Bechalav. According to Chachamim, they prohibited it. According to Rabbi Yossi, they did not. What's their debate? Their debate was not something that relates to Shikha, clearly, but rather, their debate was whether there was a need for such a restriction. Rabbi Yossi says that there's no need to make a restriction. People will not frequently confuse chicken with meat, and thus, even if we allow people to have milk with chicken, they won't come to violate the Torah's prohibition against milk and meat. And the Chachamim thought, no, chicken resembles meat in many ways. People treat them similarly, and thus we need the rabbinic legislation to prevent the violation of Torah law. That was the debate. The debate was about whether or not this gzeira was a necessary gzeira. And thus, in the town of Rabbi Yossi, they followed Rabbi Yossi's view and had basar oth b'chalav. This was until there's either an Amidah L'minyan in Sanhedrin, or the particular restriction became niskabel b'kol klal Yisrael. As we talked about last week, the Rambam holds that any time something is niskabla b'kol klal Yisrael, it has the din of a ruling of the Sanhedrin Agadol. As we saw last week, the Rambam writes that the reason why Talmud Bavli is binding and why you can't disagree with the interpretations of the Talmud Bavli, because it was a document which was accepted by Kol Klal Yisrael. It was, in fact, the last document. Nothing since the Talmud Bavli has ever been accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. But the Talmud Bavli was, and thus it's binding. And when a gzeira, even if it's post-Sanhedrin, was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, it goes from being binding on the level of a local institution to something which is nationally binding. Until then, so there was a dispute about whether such a gzeira should be made, and since during the times of Rabbi Yossi that gzeira was not yet nispashate, so in the town of Rabbi Yossi they didn't observe it, and in other towns they did. And the fifth section of Torah, the fifth category on page 5, is Heim hadinim hasuyim al derech hakira vehaskama bedvarim hanogim bein bivnei adam she'en bam tosefes b'mitzvah b'lo gira'on. Of course, we know that takanos must not violate Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra. The Rambam says that's because as long as the Sanhedrin does not state that a particular din is binding al pitora, in other words, if Chazal were to be misakein a takan and say the Torah said this, so then that would be Baal Tosef. But as long as they say no, the Torah didn't say you have to do this, but we are misakein, you have to do it, then it's not Baal Tosef. And that's a whole other discussion, the big machlokas, Rishonim, Rambam, Ramban, Rashi, and the like, how to understand the getter of Baal Tosef. And that is the fifth type of category of law, and about that here too, since it's not coming from Sinai, there can be machlokas. This idea that the Rambam writes that divrei kabbal ein ben machlokas is something that he repeats in many other contexts, including in the Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Mamrim, and the like. Now, having concluded the position of the Rambam, I'd like to take a step back and look at some of the other sources on this topic and consider what they have to say on this matter. The famous Chazal, quoted by Rashi, it's a Sifra at the beginning of Bahar, Ma Shmita Nemra Pratosel V'dikduka Misinai, this is on page 8, Af Kulam Nemru Klausel V'dikduka Misinai. So we already discussed how the Gaonim understand this more literally as opposed to the Rambam. There are other questions that could be raised on the notion that Pratosev and Dikduka were given at Sinai. One interesting question, which somebody once asked me, was how do you explain a pasuk like, let's say, Dvarim Perkhav Gimel Pasuk Dalad and Hey? The pasuk says, Lo Yavo Ammonium Moavi Bekal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavo Lam Bekal Hashem, Ad Olam, Al Dvar Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem Belachem Uvemayim, Bederach Betezchem Mimitzrayim. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is also a question on the Rambam. The Rambam says that everybody agrees that all Taryag mitzvot were given at Sinai. Well, here, the basis for the mitzvah was something that happened 38 years after Sinai. It says that the reason for Lo Yavo Amoni V'Moavi B'Kal Hashem is because Lo Kidmu Eschem B'Lechem U'V'Mayim. Well, when weren't they Makdim B'Lechem U'V'Mayim? On the 40th year of the Jews' journey through the desert. So, how could you say all mitzvot were given at Sinai? So this is, I think, obviously not a question. The answer to this question is very simple. The reason for the mitzvah probably was not given at Sinai, but the mitzvah was given at Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the future. At Sinai, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem, because he told him all Taryag mitzvos at Sinai. Presumably, he didn't tell Moshe, Al Devar Shemar Lo Kidmu Eschem Belechem Uvamayim, because that hadn't happened yet, but that isn't a problem. It's a pasuk in the Torah, as we talked about last week. Everybody agrees that the text of the Torah was not completed until the 40th year, slightly before the death of Moshe. And thus, this mitzvah does not pose a problem at all to the notion that all Taryag mitzvahs were given at Sinai. However, the question about whether Klalim and Pratim were given at Sinai is one which we see discussed in Chazal and debated in Chazal. The Gemara in Sota, as well as in a couple other places, quotes two opinions. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, this is on the bottom of page 8, Sota Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Klalos Namru B'Sinai U'Pratos Ba'ol Moed. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the Klalos are given at Sinai, the general rules of the mitzvos were given at Sinai, but the details were given at Ol Moed. What does that mean? Pratim were Namar at Ol Moed. So Rashi and Sota gives an example. At Sinai, things were stated but not explained. V'Stam Namra B'Sinai Filonis Parsha. For example, at Sinai it says V'Zavacht Alav Es Olosecha V'Shalamecha. But it doesn't tell you the details. It doesn't tell you that a chatas has matan arba and a ola has shtayim shem arba. It doesn't tell you that a chatas is betzafon and an ola is b'chol makom. And all of those were explained in Sefer Vayikra, which was stated at Ol Moed, as the first pasuk of Sefer Vayikra indicates. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, Klalim were given at Sinai, Pratim at Ol Moed. Ol Moed presumably means the period of time after Ma'amad Har Sinai, at the very least until the Jewish people began traveling through the desert. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, Klalos u'Pratos namru b'Sinai. All details were given at Sinai. V'nishna b'Ol Moed, they were repeated in Ol Moed. In other words, even though Sefer Vayikra says that it was stated at Ol Moed, that doesn't mean it was stated for the first time at Ol Moed, but that reflects a repetition. V'nishtalshu, and they were repeated once again, b'arvas moav. V'ein l'cha kol davar mitzvah mitzvah sheksuva b'torah shelo nechusu al arba'i mushmona brisos. There are some thinkers, modern thinkers, academic thinkers, who make a big deal of the notion that there's an opinion in Chazal that not all Pratim were given at Sinai, and this might be the basis for all sorts of other extensions. I don't really think there's too much basis for that. The Ramban writes that Al Pi Pshat, it's true, the view of Rabbi Yishmael is correct, namely that Pratim were given at Sinai. However, Sinai, as the Ramban explains, Ol Moed is an extension of Sinai. And whether you say that Pratim were given at Ma'amad Har Sinai Mamish, or Pratim were given at Ol Moed, doesn't necessarily significantly alter the nature of the development of Torah, per se. And the Ramban discusses this in this week's Parsha as well. He discusses it in a number of places, but it's Parsha Tzav, so we'll take a look at the Ramban in this week's Parsha. This is on page 9. Ramban here is explaining a difficult Pasuk, Perek Zayin Pasuk Lamed Ches, which refers to Har Sinai, the mitzvos asher tziv Hashem es Moshe Bar Sinai, as well as things that were given in Midbar Sinai. What is the difference between Har Sinai and Midbar Sinai? And the Ramban explains, Al derech rabosenu, kol ha-mitzvos namru l'moshe b'har Sinai, kloloseen u'pratoseen v'dikdukehen, v'nishnu mehen b'o'al moed, v'hine mitzvos v'yikra shenuyos. According to Chazal, so all details were given at Sinai. Here he's referring to the Taras Kohanim that we saw, as well as the view of Rabbi Akiva. And according to that view, Vayikra reflects a repetition, shnuyos, of the mitzvos that were given at Sinai. Interestingly enough, by the way, if you look at the Rashi at the beginning of Bahar, he doesn't actually say specifically whether this is Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yishmael. The Ramban understands that the Sifra at the beginning of Bahar is the view of Rabbi Akiva, that Klal Sen Protosem Dukdukem Nemru B'Sinai. Rashi merges the two together. It's a subtle Rashi, says, this is what it appears to me, and presents a hybrid view. Namely, everybody agrees to both principles, and because if you just take a look, and we're late, so I'm not going to go into it, but Rashi says, "Venerali shekach perusha l'fi shelo matzinu shmitas karkos v'shnuyos barvus moav b'mishnah Torah l'manu shekol separat osekulam nemru misinai uva kasev limed kan al kol dibor shendaber l'moshe misinai hayukulam kol seim v'diktukeim." According to Rashi, that allows for whether it's Sinai or Olam Moed. Anyhow. So Ramban says that's the drash, that's the derech raboseinu. However, al derech hapshat shi'uro amar asher tziva shemes Moshe b'har Sinai b'yom tzavosos b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar Sinai l'akrivas karbanem l'ashem, etc., etc. And then he says that the olah and chatas were given at Sinai, but the mincha and asham and shlamim were given at Olam Moed. Why? Because the karbanos that are explained in Sefer Shmos were given at Sinai, the karbanos explained in Sefer Vayikra were given in Olam Moed. Meaning to say, again, here we have a distinction, something that the Ramban does frequently, between pshat and drash. Al pi chazal klal senu protosem dikdukem nemru b'Sinai, but al pi pshat, the details were given at Olam Moed. V'tochen kitam bar Sinai b'makom hazeh lifnei har Sinai. Then he continues, considers another interpretation. Al pipshat, maybe bar Sinai doesn't mean at the mountain, at the revelation, but rather lifnei har Sinai, which would thereby subsume and include Olam Moed. And this relates, as I said, to what the Ramban says generally, that Olam Moed was an extension of Sinai. The Ramban writes the rules prohibiting, for example, the entering of Olam Moed was an extension of the rules prohibiting going up onto the mountain, Bimshol Chayovel, and the like. And Ayin Ramban, who develops this idea. The Ramban, as I said before, comes back to this again and again. Later in this week's Parsha, the Ramban is so same like the Pshat that details were given at Olam Moed. The Ramban, for example, in next week's Parsha, which isn't next week, but the next coming up Parsha, says that when the Pasuk says, Yayin v'shechar al tesht, after the death of Nadav and Avihu. So, why did Nadav and Avihu die? It's not because they violated the prohibition against entering the Mikdash Shtuye Yayin, because clearly that mitzvah wasn't given yet, because the tzivoy prohibiting entering the Mikdash Shtuye Yayin is given after the Parsha of the death of Nadav and Avihu. In other words, he presumes, which is again the pshat, not the drash, but he presumes that the order that the Torah is written is also the order that it was revealed. And thus, if the Torah commands the prohibition against entering the Mikdash, Shtuye Yayin, after it describes the death of Nadav and Avihu, then that prohibition was given afterwards. Rather, it means to say that perhaps they did enter Shtuye Yayin, and maybe the prohibition against entering Shtuye Yayin is a response. That might be why they brought an Ezara, and therefore you in the future should not enter the Mishkan Shtuye Yayin. Again, the presumption was given in order. Likewise, the Ramban in Dvarim says, in his Akdama, V'od Yosef b'sefer azeh kama mitzvot shelo nizkeru klal. The Ramban notes that many of the mitzvot in Dvarim were not mentioned in the earlier books, like Yibum and Chalitza and the like. He gives various suggestions as to why that might be, why they weren't mentioned earlier. However, he says, V'kfar nemru lo kulan b'Sinai o ba'Olam Moed. Even if they're first mentioned in Dvarim, but they were originally given at Sinai or Olam Moed, that's because the Ramban writes that even al pi pshat, that klal osein and prat osein weren't given at Sinai, but all pratim were given either at Sinai or Olam Moed, because like we said, for the Ramban, Olam Moed is an extension of Sinai. There is a statement in the Ramban, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, which seems to contradict what he says a number of other times, and I don't know how to resolve the question, other than to say perhaps here he's just defending the Shita of the Bahag. But he writes, U'mitzvos rabos lo nemru b'Sinai ela b'shas maisa k'gon din makoshes v'nos tzlafchad v'lo choshish lakach. Now, of course, Benos Lafcha took place after the 40 years in the desert. The Ramban here writes that the mitzvos were only given at that point in time. So here in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban seems to say not just that Klal Osein, Pret Osein were given either at Sinai or Ol Moed, but continuing through the Torah, and thus there were even Chidushim on the 40th year of the Midbar. Okay. Other sources which describe in a much more mechudishtic way the notion of the continuation of the revelation, that things were not just at Sinai, but the continuation. So we already saw how the Rambam presents this. Now let's look at some of the sources in Chazal, where you see this idea reflected. One of the most powerful stories in the Medrash, this story appears in Avos de Rabbi Nassan, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, as well as Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Perek Aleph, and Beis. The story, the very powerful story of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkunus. Rabbi Elazar ben Horkunus, we're told, was a farmer. He came from a family of farmers. He was a farmer. In his youth, he was plowing, and one day he decided he was going to give up farming and go study with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Yerushalayim. He goes ahead, he gives up farming, he becomes a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, a great student, studies by him for many years. After a number of years of not helping out on the farm, his brothers tell his father, you know, Hyrcanus, you should really disown Eliezer, because after all, he's abandoned us, and he's not participating in our farm, and he's just went off to learn Torah, let's disown him. And Hyrcanus agrees, and he goes off to find his son Eliezer to disown him. Well, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is studying in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and rumor has it his father's coming to disown him. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a great strategy. He tells him, you know what? Rabbi Elazar, why don't you say shir today? You darshan. So, I'm reading from the bottom page 11. Amar lo, Rabbi Elazar refuses. Em shalachal mashal, lema dever dome, lemayin zeh, shehu noveya umotzi mayim. I'm sorry, I skipped. Amar lo, Rabbi em shalachal mashal, lema dever dome, lebur hazeh, sheno yachal lohotzi mayim, yosem imash shehaya motzi. Kach ani eni yachal lomar divrei taira yoser mimashi kibalti mimcha. It doesn't make sense for me to give shir from you, because everything I know you taught me. So why should I give shir? Everything I know I got from you. This is perhaps an allusion to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai refers to Rabbi Elazar ben Horkunus in Mishnah and Pirkei Avos as borsich and abe tipa. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says back to him, no, not true. Em shulcham mashal lemadav daima lemayin zeh. Shehu noveo motzi mayim, v'yesh b'kochol hotzi mayim yoser mima shemachnes. Kach ata yachol lomar divrei Torah yoser mima shekiblu misinai. You can say Torah more than was given at Sinai. You could be machadesh. You could say something new, something that was never stated before today. Eliezer is still reluctant. He refuses. Perhaps Rabbi Elazar in Erevin, it has a very strong shita about its usur to teach Torah b'fnei rabo. And thus, Rabbi Yochum Zakkai says, I see that you're not going to give shir as long as I'm around. So he steps aside and he goes away, and Elazar takes over. And in fact, his shir is absolutely brilliant. It's he's compared to Moshe Rabbeinu in giving the shir. Rabbi Elazar Yoshi v'doresh upanav mi'iros korachama v'karnosav yotos kikarnosav shel Moshe. And the Medrash says that he was dorish dvarim shelo shamatem ozen misinai me'olam. I'm sorry, lo shamatem ozen me'olam. Rabbi Elazar in that day said chidushin that were never said before, never, not even at Sinai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes back. He's so impressed. He gives him a kiss. His father, of course, sees how he's developed. He says, "I'm not going to go and disown you. I'm going to disown the rest of my kids and give everything to you." And of course, the story ends happily ever after. But you see here a very important point. The notion that chidushim can be things that are lo nemru me'olam. This, again, is very supportive of the notion that we saw in the Rambam. The Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichas Moser famously raises the question that the Gemara in Sukkah says, Rabbi Elazar says, that he never said anything lo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabo li'olam. How could that be? On the one hand, he was said things shelo nemru be lo nemru meol lama. On the other hand, he said, I said everything from my rabbi. And the answer is, Rav Cooks writes a similar idea as Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that the yesod is that his shita he got from his rabbi, but of course, applying the derech he learned from his rabbi to new cases, he was able to say things that were never said before. And of course, here we have the contrast between, on the one hand, the idea that there's a mesorah about everything; on the other hand, there could be things that are new. Going to further sources, there are many sources in Chazal which go further in terms of ascribing things to Sinai. The Gemara in Megillah says, "Milamet she'ehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe dikduke Torah v'dikduke Sofrin u'mashe Sofrim asidin l'chadesh u'mayniu mikra Megillah." The Gemara says in Brachos, "Amr Shem ben Lakish, my dechsev." This is top of page 13. Vetna lacha es luchos ha'even, etc. Luchos elu aser sadibros, Torah zu mikra, mitzvah zu mishna, asher kasavti, elu nevim uksuvim, lahorasam, ze gemara melamit shekulam nitnu, lemoshe misinai. Everything, even dinman derabanan, seem to have been given at Sinai. Perhaps the most radical formulation of the idea is the Yerushalmi in Chagiga. The Yerushalmi in Chagiga says that kol ma shetalmid vasik Asid Lahoros Nemar Lemosha Misinai. Everything that any seasoned student would be Mora, would be rule, and Halacha was already given at Sinai. Not just the Drashos in the Gemara, but even Komash Talmud Vasik Asid Lahoros. It's interesting, by the way, parenthetically, that statement in Yerushalmi is frequently quoted as Komash Talmud Vasik Asid Lachadesh. If you look, Reb Tzadok quotes it that way. If you look at the Nitziv in his famous Hakdama Kidmas Ha'emek, he quotes it that way. Even Rabbi Rosenzweig, in his brilliant article, Personal Initiative and Creativity in Avodat Hashem, quotes it more or less that way, as Kol Masha Talmud Vasek Asid L'Chadesh. The truth is, Asid L'Chadesh is a much bigger Chiddush. Asid lahoros, you could say, any correct halachic ruling. But l'chadesh, anything you say, even, I don't know, the chidushi agriz were said at Sinai. Perhaps it's based off of Medrash Rabbah, which perhaps goes a little further. It says, Masha Talmud Vasek Asid Lomar Lifnei Rabbah Kula Namro Misinai. But one way or the other, this statement and these statements in Chazal seem to be going much further. Everything was given at Sinai. So how do we understand this statement? Some seem to understand it quite literally. There's a Ravid who uses this yesod to explain a Gemara in Erevin. Without getting into details, the Gemara over there says, Hachi agmere rachman al Moshe misinai gdor ruba, which implies that omen ruba la parts is a din deraisa. Agmere is interesting. Lashon, is there a difference between gmiri and halacha? But anyway, the Ravid says, how could that be? Omen Rubal apart is a din derabanan, like you see from Pasi Biraus. He answers, it's true, it's a din derabanan. But even din derabanan were given to Moshe at Sinai. So just because the Gemara says that the halacha was given to Moshe at Sinai doesn't imply it's not a din deraisa. Taisfis Erevin on Hamad base, at least as understood by the Marshal, says the same idea. Digmiri Lemoshe, that Mahani, it's talking there about Lechis and Kairos, a din derabanan. But it was said in Sinai. Others, however, say no. Of course, we can't understand this; these ideas that every din derabbanan was given at Sinai kipshuto, because it's lo yitachein to say that when the Chazal were misakein dinim derabbanan, they did so because they had a tradition from Sinai. There was a debate about the institution of the holiday of Purim. Would we say that they had a mesorah from Sinai that they were supposed to institute the holiday of Purim? That's lo olaladas. So what does it mean, everything was given to Moshe at Sinai? Some understand this based on another Yerushalmi of Odizar Bei Zion, which says that there were certain things that were said to Moshe at Sinai that were Dvarim Shenemar Beino Levein Atzmi. Moshe says these were told between me and God. The way the Megillus Esther understands this and the Tosis Yontif understands this, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe certain things that he was not supposed to transmit. Shani Omer Shizelo Ayamosha Moser Lacherim Klal. And that's what it means, Milamit Sheher Ahu Moshe kol diktuke Torah. It doesn't say shemasru lo or shelimdo, but rather herahu. It was necessary for Moshe to have a broad understanding of all the breadth and depth of Torah, every single chiddush, every single vart that was ever to be said. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was Adon HaNeviim, and who was Moshe HaTorah, had to know kol haTorah. But Moshe did not transmit that. What did he transmit? The Dinim D'Oraisa, the Perushim HaMekubalim, but he did transmit everything that he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai. Another way of understanding this is the idea that perhaps everything was given to Moshe at Sinai, even Mikra Megillah, but it was forgotten. Like the Gemara in Temura we quoted earlier, that even Bimei Evlo Shel Moshe, many halachos were forgotten. There are many places in Chazal where we talk about the forgetting of Torah. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Shebetchila kishe nishtak ha-Tor Yisrael, ala Ezra mi Bavel viyasta. Chazer v'nishtakcha alul Hillel habavli viyasta. Chazer v'nishtakcha alul Rebbe Chia v'ubana viyastua. The Gemara talks about how on multiple occasions Torah was forgotten and Chachamim came up from Bavel and reestablished it. The Gemara in Bavan Tzia says that Rebbe Chanina said to Rebbe, if Torah was forgotten, imishkachna Torah miYisrael mahadarna leim epilpuli. That's another way of understanding these Chazals. Others like the Ran say this shouldn't be understood so literally. And finally, others point to a other mamarim in Chazal, which seem to indicate the opposite. There's a medrash in Shmos Rabbah, page 16, that says, Klalum limdua HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe miSinai. It was only the klalim that were given to Moshe at Sinai, not the pratim. And the medrash says it would have been absolutely impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach Moshe all the klalim and pratim and diktukim at Sinai. He was just there for 40 days or 120 days. It would have been impossible. This idea can be found in the Yerushalmi as well. The Yerushalmi says if every detail was given at Sinai, lo haisel regel amida. And the Ikrim explains, what does this mean? Vod lefishi efshar shetia Torah Hashem Yisbaruch shlema ba'ofen shetaspik bekol hazmanim. The Torah could not be complete in such a way that would possibly explain and be relevant for all things. It's precisely because the Torah was and is an eternal document that it's impossible that all pratim and dikdukim were given at Sinai. We're out of time, so we will probably not finish this particular topic, but God willing, next shiur after Pesach, we'll continue. We'll talk a little bit about Elu Ve'elu Devar Elokim Chaim, which very much relates to some of these topics we've done today. I'd like to wish you all a Chag Kashav V'Sameach. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful Shabbos.